What's up, guys? It's Gray Haas, and you have no idea how much it helps us when people like Gary, Amanda A., David A.S., and someone called Big Easy Blasphemy, great handle, by the way, join the Patreon. Our goal is to try to get to 500 supporters over there, which frees us up to do more things like live shows, live streams, and bonus content. You can even do a free trial. So please, please help us reach our goal of 500 supporters. For the price of a cup of coffee per month, you can help Mega keep going. Head to patreon.com/megathepodcast or check the link in the show notes. And thanks. Hey friends, you've probably heard me mention ButcherBox on here before, but if you haven't tried it, I gotta wonder, maybe you just hate deals? ButcherBox is high-quality meat and seafood you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep. It takes the guesswork out of shopping, and it is a godsend when it comes to saving me money and time. And here's the thing. If you're going to be cooking meat or seafood, just give it a try for a month and see if you like it. It feels decadent to have a freezer stocked with your favorite ingredients, and truly, who else is offering you free protein for a year? That's manna from heaven. What even is manna, by the way? Anyway, today, ButcherBox is giving Mega listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/mega, and use code MEGA to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/mega, and use the code MEGA.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
We are here, Lord, we are here, and we're ready to podcast.
Hiya, I'm Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where we're giving our mega church a tiny family feel by introducing you to members of our church staff and our community. It is a treat and a treasure. Well, each week I'm joined by my co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax. Please welcome Gray Haas, everybody.
I'm faded.
Oh, what does that mean?
I have no idea. I'm still trying new catchphrases, It's something my kids say. Hey, Hallie, how are you doing?
I'm awesome.
Oh, I'm so awesome, so blessed. And Hallie, I wanted to tell you about something really fun and cool that I came up with this weekend. It's called Undercover Climax.
Oh, what's that?
Well, I'm a huge fan of the show Undercover Boss.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah, and that's a show basically where bosses dress up like their employees and spy on them. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's so fun. So what I did, Hallie, is I found out that one of my kids, and I don't like to say names, but one of my teens in Climax, Peloton McAfee, was having a party this weekend. Mm. And I just was so concerned about that because I knew there might be drinking, there might be drugs or something like that.
Oh, no.
So instead of, go ahead and cracking down or calling his parents, I said, I'm going to go undercover, Hallie. I'm going to dress up like one of these teens. I'm going to have my cell phone camera. And I'm just going to record everything that happens because shame is a powerful teaching tool.
Shane?
Shane? Oh, yeah, he was there too, but no, shame.
Oh, shame.
Yeah, shame. So if you can really shame a kid into their behavior,
yeah.
It really helps them understand like, hey, I shouldn't be doing that, shouldn't be thinking that or whatever.
Good.
So what I did, I dressed up and I got in there and I just immediately blended in. It was awesome. Everybody sort of was like, hey, who's this new guy? I started talking up all the teens. At one point, Hallie, they made a circle around me and I was sort of dancing in the middle and everybody was like checking out my dance moves.
Awesome.
And it was just so cool. It really, took me back to when I was younger. And then, I wouldn't say things went perfectly.
Oh, no. What happened?
Well, you know, like I said, I was wearing like some bootcut jeans with like kind of the knees blown out.
Cool.
I thought would be cool. And I was wearing a polo shirt, like a black and yellow Fred Perry polo shirt.
Cool.
And at one point, all these football players, I guess it was, you know, while I was dancing in the circle, all these football players sort of gathered around me. And one of the guys said, hey, no Proud Boys at the party. And they picked me up, Hallie, and they marched me out of the party. And I was going, hey, guys, put me down. And they were like, no. And I was like, please. And they were like, no. And they were like, let's throw him in the kiddie pool. And they did. And that kind of hurt because it was not a lot of water in there. And they said, you know, stand back and stand down. We don't want any Proud Boys at this party. And I was like, okay, I'm not sure what's going on, guys. But, you know, it was kind of a bummer, Hallie, really, because all the footage that I'd taken in my cell phone, it was in my pocket and it got kind of damp.
Oh, your
phone? Yeah, so I lost everything. Didn't get to do the undercover climax this weekend. But I'm going to try it again next time I hear a party.
Oh, that's cool. But a Proud Boy?
Right.
What's a Proud Boy?
You know, I have no idea, Hallie. And I went on Twitter to look it up. And from what I can tell, it's either like a happy guy dancing with a wig, or it's these like weak little guys that are, you know, in the basements of the mum's house and they're all whining about how they don't have girlfriends. So not really sure what that whole thing was about. But anyway, I'm going to try it again at another party.
Yeah, better luck next time.
Yeah. How was your weekend?
So awesome. We, as a family, we take a fall break every fall. And that was this weekend. And we had so much fun. We always go down to Brown County. We have a timeshare and a little cabin. It's so cute.
Oh, that's such a great place for a timeshare.
Yeah. It's like getting crisp and it's fall-like and I make cider and chili. It's awesome.
That's great. How many weekends a year do you get that?
With
the timeshare?
Just a weekend in the fall and a weekend in the spring.
Oh, great. What a deal.
It's so cool. Anyway, did I ever tell you that last fall break when we went down to Brown County, this guy who was AWOL from the Marines broke into our house while we were gone, was eating all our food, leaving weird notes in my daughter's underpants drawers, and just very odd. And my father stopped by to pick up our mail and found, you know, this guy there and called the police. And anyway, they got rid of him before we even got back from Brown County. But we were all kind of reminiscing about it this weekend when we went on fall break as a family. And I went and checked. The police kind of gave us a report afterwards and I didn't ever really pay attention to it. But I went and looked at it. You know who the guy was? I thought, well, this is so interesting. I got to tell Gray. The name of the AWOL Marine who broke into our house, his name was Raylan Bannerman. Bannerman.
Yeah, Hallie, that is
that is
my I'm not sure if I mentioned him. Clay Mason Bannerman
yeah,
is
yeah,
my friend. I'm not sure, but yeah, that is his son. He was dishonorably discharged from the Marines.
Dishonorably discharged.
Yeah, not AWOL. No, dishonorably discharged.
Oh no.
He also has a vestigial tail, but that's beside the point, literally.
Well, then I hate to tell you this next part.
Okay.
But I was at Martin's doing my regular grocery shopping, and I'm there at the deli counter getting, 2 pounds of sliced turkey, and the girl behind the counter is one of your Climax kids, Lacey Heimbaugh.
Oh, yeah, Lacey. She's nice. Razor cut bangs, face like a pancake.
I says, Lacey, how you doing? I said, it's Hallie. And she came over and her stomach was out to here.
Oh, right. Well, maybe grocery store employees eat for free? Or
no, she was pregnant.
Oh, really?
Her belly button was sticking out so far it looked like that thing that pops out of the turkey when it's done.
Oh.
And I said, Lacey, you're pregnant. I said, should you be working? She looked like the baby was about to fall out from between her legs. And she said, I have to work. I have to work 50 hours a week, so I don't have health insurance, and I have to pay for my own C-section, and I can't have it until I raise 3 grams. So I'm just working to death. And I said, well, honey, my goodness gracious, felt so sorry for her. And I said, Lacey, who did this to you? Who's the fella? Guess who she said?
Oh, no.
Raylan Bannerman knocked her up.
Well, I guess that was a second dishonorable discharge.
Hey, Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
We're trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles new age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis. And at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, you get a belly full of laughs and a head full of real information. Our gallimaufry of expert guests answer questions on stuff adults need to know. I have mold in my dwelling. What do I do? What's gerrymandering? What happens chemically when I fall in love? How do I handle a parent-teacher conference? What are microbes? Listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Solve problems, get laughs.
Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles new age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis. And at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just like Jesus asked the disciples to follow him, our guest today is asking folks to follow her right out of their cults. Ladies and gentlemen, today we have Carol Peckers. Welcome.
Well, I am just pleased to be here. Thank you so much, both of you. Really, really, this is what an opportunity.
Carol, you are doing some of the most, what I would consider some of the most important work around here at Twin Hills, which is basically through your ministry, which is called Look the Other Way. Is that right?
Yes, Look the Other Way. Absolutely, 100%. That is correct. That is the name of my cult recovery ministry, which is Look the Other Way.
Now,
Cult recovery.
Now, how are you recovering from a cult? Were you in a cult? Is that why? Or were you in a cult?
Yes, of course I was. I was raised in a, actually, you know, it takes me way back. Boy, those memories hurt, huh? Probably two or three different cults. And once I found my light, I decided to spread my light among others so they follow my steps.
Oh, really?
Well, don't you hide it under a bushel. No, you got to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine.
So what kind of cults were you in before you found Jesus and, you know, Christ specifically?
And did your parents do this to you? Goodness gracious.
My parents were involved in somewhat of a sinning relationship with different swingers in their neighborhood.
Oh,
they then
no.
decided to own and run a farm operation.
Okay.
You know, just outside of Wisconsin. So it's not in Wisconsin, the state. It's just outside of Wisconsin.
Okay, just over the border. So Michigan.
It's just over the border of Wisconsin.
Okay.
So Michigan,
maybe Minnesota,
or
Illinois.
Yeah, it could be the Upper Peninsula, I
UP,
guess. Right,
yeah, Minnesota. But okay. Just across the border. Yeah.
It's not in Wisconsin.
Okay, great.
Okay. Oh,
so I guess
God.
We're not really going to find out where it was,
okay.
But that's good.
Yeah,
great.
So not Wisconsin.
We have had dealt with some people from Wisconsin, making sure that we get that word out that it is not in Wisconsin. So I wanted to clarify that. Now, I was raised in a couple. One was at a farm, and it was a cult. We sang, we danced, we painted, and we farmed.
Okay.
Oh, that all seems so wholesome.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and I guess you guys were all playing on the swing sets too there, or what is with the swinging?
Well, unfortunately, the swinging, well, it was more of a rite of passage.
Oh.
The swing sets, if you went on the swing set, then you were put on a list and they would do a raffle if you've all read The Lottery back as a child.
Oh, what's The Lottery?
The Lottery is a Shelley, I forget her last name, author, but...
Shelley Long?
Shirley Jackson.
Shelley Long?
Shelley Long is a fantastic author, but this one is Shirley Jackson, I believe.
Oh.
And she wrote the short story, The Lottery, where someone in the neighborhood, their name would be picked out and they would be stoned to death. And so if you found yourself on the swing, you were going to be stoned almost to death. You live a life of bruised. It was an awful situation.
Very biblical.
Really?
Yeah.
Sort of Old Testament there.
Yes, we fleed that cult and went to another one.
Good. Because I don't know much about her, but I do know that Shirley MacLaine is into astrology, and that is a slippery slope, and it's lies from the devil. And, you know, these people like Shirley MacLaine, they hook you in because they're gifted, right? They're a celebrity and they're an actor and they're good looking. And so they hook you in. And I've heard that that's how cults work. I had to look up cults online before we started the interview today, because I was like, what exactly is a cult? What makes a cult? Is it just having a human leader and not a deity?
Well, aliens can lead you as well in any type of cults. Cults actually is an acronym.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, and so is the actual word acronym.
Oh, really?
Wow, that's cool.
What does it stand for, cults?
Cult does stand for citizens under lots of things. We decided to take the O-F of out of it.
Got it.
Yes, but my second one was run by some aliens that were coming down. And unfortunately, that's when my mother and father left to go to, they rode on a comet.
Oh,
and
wow.
Left me on my own. I was one of 17 children.
Oh,
yes, we have the same father. And, but I left, and what I recognized from my time in the Citizens Under Lots of Things is, I need to save other people, and that's what I do. That's what I do.
That is so inspiring. And when you say aliens, are you saying like from space or from Canada?
Oh, thank you so much for clarifying. From space.
Okay, great.
Because,
you know, you were saying Wisconsin. I'm sort of picturing it like, okay, you're pretty close to Canada, you know, just up there. So wondering if they were from Canada, but glad to know that they're from outer space.
Now, did you actually clap eyes on a real life alien with your own eyeballs?
I did. I was on my mattress and I remember it happened at 3 a.m. in the morning, and everyone had the same shoes on and everyone got up. And I remember, you know, I was young. I was probably 15, 16 at the most.
Right.
And they all just got up and just left. Drank some things, and their souls went to where they were going. They all had it planned out, and I was left on my mattress that I shared with a couple other people my age.
You were left behind. That is so terrifying.
So scary.
Well, you know, our hearts go out to you, definitely, Carol, and it's just so inspiring that you are now bringing people out of those dangerous situations because, you know, as far as I understand it, you know, Hallie, cults are basically, you know, a set of beliefs that are channeled through, you know, a charismatic leader and who basically says that they've got, you know, a direct contact or connection with the divine. And it's just so inspiring that you're bringing people out of those situations and bringing them to here at Twin Hills where we do something very different, I think.
Now, did the aliens look like, you know, the gray with the pointy chin and the, you know, round top of the head? Or was it like in the Jodie Foster vehicle Contact where the alien looked like her dad because its technology was so advanced that it presented itself in a manner that made her feel comfortable and safe? That's very manipulative. What did it look like?
Well, I'm going to tell you what it looked like. May I mention the name Drew Barrymore or Henry Thomas?
Okay.
If those ring a bell.
One does.
Yeah, I know Drew Barrymore. She just started a new daytime talk show, and it's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
You might have seen her earlier work in something called E.T.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness.
So we're going
gracious.
Along those lines because I've seen the drawings. Now, my parents would not let me see them because I wasn't old enough to lose my virginity to the head of the cult of the Citizens Under a Lot of Things.
Oh. Right.
So I could only see from afar, but I heard the stories, I've seen the drawings. And so, yes, very much like an E.T. Scenario that we have going on. If they just held on for one more year, I would have been able to make love to the founding father.
Alien? Oh, the fat. Oh.
I mean, then hopefully if you're one of the lucky ones, of course, this was then. Now, I'm not a believer of this anymore. I'm on the right side. I'm on the righteous side now. But if you were so lucky to be in encompassed by their seed, well, you're one of the lucky ones then.
Oh, the seed encompasses you.
Of the founding father's alien seed. To continue the growth of, but unfortunately they all died or went to the next level.
Wow. Now I noticed that a lot of these cults are so obsessed with virginity or they have the ideas of virgin stuff throughout. And I'm just so glad that we as a non-cult barely have anything that involves anything related to virginity. I can't even think of one single thing, which is another, you know, fact that's pointing to the fact that we are not a cult and that the Bible is the sacred God-breathed text.
Well, and you know, I'm proud to say 30 years later, I'm still a virgin.
Oh, really?
Wow. Okay. That is so God-honoring.
Well, yes, it is. Thank you so much. And so it is my my job, my duty to go and go deep. I go deep, and if that means that I have to dress up like somebody in a cult, if that means I have to put on the correct personality to fit into this quote, I go in deep and investigate and find the people that are suffering in these cults, and I bring them to, you know, luckily, Gray and Hallie, what you guys are presenting allows me to have my cult recovery.
So what does that really look like in practice? Are you going around to these cults, and then what do you do with them to really make them see, hey, what you're doing is actually incorrect, and we've actually got the right answers here at Twin Hills.
Yes, absolutely. I go in and I say, listen, I have what you need. You come with me and you will see the light. You will see the right way. I'm going to need $80 right now. I'm going to need another $80 when we get there. And then we'll get on a payment plan. And then they got to get on these classes. They sign up for whatever classes they want and they get tested, right? There's a diagnostics test involved and they come and that is all run through me. So that I really tell them that the right way, if they want to feel involved and they want to feel that they're part of a strong community that will never let you down, they got to come with me. And they're more than welcome to bring another friend that might be vulnerable and maybe wants a little more attention or anything to find their pure joy. We go off to a retreat for a good couple weeks.
Ooh,
and we really sing, we dance, it's glorious. We have ceremonies.
Wow.
They wear these scarves of different colors.
Oh, I've seen those. Yeah. I saw those when you guys were out sort of twirling around the gazebo. And I was like, oh, you guys, I was like, hey, Hallie, who's out by the gazebo? And it was all these.
I said, that's Carol Peckers.
I know. And all in her colorful scarf, folks. That was really inspiring.
We were galloping. We were doing our galloping ballerina, which is the you know, that's how first people meet each other. And we really get to know each other's essence to see where we're going to take place in this community.
Oh, that's so great. And I'm glad somebody is using the gazebo.
We'd like to use the word, we saved you, right?
Oh, awesome.
And then we get all this thanks and praise by our people that we saved. We then do the ceremony. Now, of course, you saw our very first one in the gazebo, but then we go into the forest where we do have a branding ceremony.
Oh, that's interesting. What does that mean?
Branding. Well, it just means that they are part of something greater than themselves.
Well, I think branding is so important, especially right now. You really got to define your brand these days. And I think, you know, Twin Hills has worked a lot on its brand of just being like, hey, we're cool. We're church for the unchurched. And I just think branding is awesome. And I think that's so cool that you guys are really defining your brand.
It's necessary.
Now, having grown up without your parents at one point, with these 17 other kids, did you, I was wondering, because it's one of my favorite movies and musicals, is the movie Annie, and the original, not this newfangled stuff they're trying to really mess with the story, but the original Annie, did you relate to that? Did you feel like one of, like, Pepper or Annie of, like, it's a hard knock, like, instead of kisses, we get kicked and all that stuff?
Yeah. Oh, well, Hallie, I get it. That by far is one of mine. I loved, Mary in that musical. And I did see myself scrubbing, you know, the one thing that takes me back and what we do now with our people in our cult recovery ministry is I do make them clean the floors with a toothbrush. I want it to shine like the top of the Chrysler building. And I will tell them that. And, you know, you don't want to mess with me. I'm sorry. I'm being a little vulnerable. I'm showing maybe my inner self. And I don't mean to do that because we do welcome everyone and look the other way. But I got to admit, I have an inner workings that I'm trying to also work through, but sometimes they come out.
Well, it sounds like you're a tough lover. And I'll tell you what, these people who've been in cults, they probably need for you to kind of boot camp them and say, wash this floor with a toothbrush. And they need the discipline. They need their minds to be correct. And I know we were all afraid of Mrs. Hannigan, but maybe you're like the sympathetic Mrs. Hannigan character. And you know what? She had good qualities. She could sing.
Well, she could sing like a dream girl. And you know, and I do, while I do still call some of my community pig droplets, I think they get the point. They know it's love, but it's not, you know, I might be at the top, but then I have six people under me, and those six then are required to get six more people to join our community here.
So that's so inspiring. You know, it's just you. So it's you and your founding father. What was his name?
His name is Hen.
Hen. Like a chicken.
Hen.
Like a chicken or a hen that does a cock-a-doodle-doo.
Uh-huh. Okay. Right. Okay. So you've got you and Hen. And do you go by Carol, or do you go by a different name?
I go by Carol.
Okay, so you've got the two of you at the top, and what else do you all do out there on the farm that is some, I'm not exactly sure where it is, but what are some of the other things that you all are up to really get people out of these cults, other than, you know, I guess you're cleaning a floor with a toothbrush, you're
getting branded,
right?
You're not in Wisconsin.
You know, once in a while we'll go on a shopping spree.
Ooh,
how fun.
And sometimes we'll have a back massage train.
Ooh. Oh, fun.
Ooh, they've got good outlets up there in Wisconsin.
Well just outside of Wisconsin. We had to have still some legal troubles with that whole thing. That since my parents died, I then am dealing with the legality of
I see.
The state of Wisconsin. So we're just outside of Wisconsin.
It's so funny. Mrs. Hannigan had Rooster and you've got Hen. That's so cool. Now, I just was having my kids watch Annie with me the other day because most everything that's on TV now is absolute filth, and I don't want my kids watching it. And so I said, let's watch Annie. And I'm singing all the songs, and I'm having a good old time. And my teenage son, of course, he's going to give me guff. My teenage son, Day, he said, Mom, this is racist. And I said, no, it's not. And I said, what's racist? There's not even a single protester in this whole film. This is a good family film. And he said, this is extremely racist. That character's name is Punjab. And I said, he hasn't said a single thing about black people this whole time. My son, they get so sensitive. They just go looking for racism everywhere.
The new generation, I tell you, I'm not sure if I want them on my property.
I can see why you would say that. I mean, yeah, these teenagers, I just worry about the future. I really do.
They need to get a little more life experience than before, you know, I can see really if they're worthy.
I had a bunch of cousins that actually joined a cult because there was a pretty big cult in Australia around 2000-2001. It was called the Silly Man, and there was a guy, he called himself the Silly Man. He said, come out with me, we'll go out the outback, we'll be pretty silly.
Was he silly?
Right. Well, that's the thing is I think he sort of drew them in by saying, hey, we can all go be silly. And then he would do some pretty wild things like, you know, he would, you know, beat them with a pool noodle. He would, which sounds silly, but I think it hurt. And, you know, all my cousins, right, they did something very similar to what you're speaking of with your alien cult. At one point he said, let's all be silly and drink gasoline. And they did. And they're all dead now.
Oh my gosh. Well, that there is silly. Silly for a bunch of your cousins to drink that gasoline. See, I don't, you know, we're exposing the truth of the dangers of cults, right?
Right.
In my community, in Look the Other Way, the Cult Recovery Ministry, which you can find me online, you can email me, and I can send you some pamphlets, and we can get you in for a quick free checkup. You know, we're exposing those dangers. No one on my property would ever drink gasoline. Absolutely not. In fact, we only transport ourselves by use of donkey, mule, or horse.
Oh, cool. That's
just like
awesome.
Just like Jesus.
That is very, very biblical. Wow.
I'm a Christian woman, and I know to look the other way.
So that's about right. How long that's does it right. take you to get to the farm from here in Indianapolis? By donkey, mule, you know, it just seemed. And do you use the freeway?
We have once used the freeway. I lost 13 members of my cult. I'm sorry to bring that up. There was a semi.
Oh no!
And,
one fell.
And I lost 13 members.
Oh no!
Three of them were pregnant with the founder.
Oh no!
I did not know this was going to come up, and I'm just breaking down. I'm a mess.
Wow.
It was a long time ago. But yes, no, we have to really prep and prepare for the journey.
Oh, well, here's a tissue, and it has aloe in it, and it's soothing.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, I was wondering, what are some of the brainwashing techniques that are used on people in cults, and how do you break them?
Sure, absolutely. A lot of the brainwashing would be really telling them that they are worthy, that they are necessary, that they are loved, their money will make them smarter, and that they're beautiful, that they are worth to carry the seed of the founding father. So those are pretty much how people are going to be driven into a cult. Now, how we break that is, well, we tell them that they are not.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
It is tough love. And we tell them that they are not worthy.
Right, right. I mean, further proof that Christianity is the one true faith, because we say from the get-go, we say, you are full of sin and you are deserving of a very real hell that awaits you. You, the very nature of the way you were born is sinful and worthy of death. And the only way you have any value is through the death of Jesus Christ and him covering and you being covered in his blood, because you are so filthy with sin that we actually have to wash that sin with blood. That's how filthy you are.
Wow, what an idea. Well, we do have showers that we all do shower together. A common area of the showers. I might bring in that blood saying that this is, you know, a representation and let's cleanse this all off, right? We maybe do a dance together and then go out by the fire pit. But yes, so we do shower our sins away. We are not worthy of love until they get to that point where then, of course, that's a mauve scarf where they can make love to the Founding Father.
Okay. And by the Founding Father, do you mean Jesus?
Jesus?
Or do you mean...
Oh, I mean him.
Okay. Now, I guess I have one question. You know, there is some... Well, you know, with cults, I thought it was interesting because they say, you know, this is the only truth. And you're basically saying with your ministry, look the other way. And so what are you saying to look? Are you saying basically look the other way, but, you know, are you saying there's only look wherever you want except that way? Or are you saying look one way? Because I guess I'm a little bit confused of like, if you're saying look one, if you're saying don't look that way, but now look this way, isn't it sort of just like trading one way for the other way?
Look the other way.
Okay.
The other way doesn't count. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
And no one knows about it. Just look the other way. Never speak about it again.
Now, is that your way?
Look my way.
Okay.
Which is the righteous way.
Okay.
And once they look my way, then we are together a community.
Yes.
Celebrating our freedom, exuding, getting rid of the cults.
That's beautiful.
I think that clears it up.
Yeah, because your way, Carol, is Jesus' way. And you know what? Jesus actually describes himself as the way, the truth, and the life. He says he is the way. So it's like, don't look over there. Look over here. Look this way. Jesus is the way. Now, you said something about showers. And tell me if this is too personal, but I was thinking maybe you could help me because I like to swim laps at the Y sometimes. And boy, do I have trouble when you got it. They say you got to shower before you get in the pool. I always make sure I have my suit on. What I usually do is I put my suit on under my clothes at home. So when I get to the locker room and I put my clothes in the locker, I already have my suit on because I'm terrified of being exposed and naked in the locker room. But when I get out of the pool after my laps and I come into the showers in the Y, and it's just gals in there, but I still, Carol, I'm just crippled with shame at my own nudity.
Let me ask you something. Are you free this weekend? Would you like to?
I am.
Come over?
Wait, are you saying, because I am crippled, I even in my own home, I cannot be seen naked. I go into my closet to even put my nightgown on. I always have the lights on in the marital, lights off, oh gosh, in the marital bed. And I am full of crippling shame about my own nudity.
Hallie, I want you to come join us this weekend. I want you to feel safe in your body. I want you,
cool.
Everyone else has had those issues. You'll meet a whole new community.
What?
You'll feel good. I want to welcome you to our shower arena.
What?
And you'll meet these people that have at one time had these same issues. And now they no longer have those issues because they are cleansed of their shame.
Wow. So you don't feel judged when people look at your naked body?
For $160, 80 today, 80 down the road, I'm going to show you the path to freedom where you will no longer have that shame.
What is that? What exactly does the $80 cover? I mean, is that snacks or?
Ooh, do you have snacks? Yeah, I am a huge fan of those under 100 calorie packs. You got any of those? I love snacks.
Well, we have the Oreo under 100.
Oh,
they,
I love
they come
those
in the little things. But the $80 really does go to pamphlets, and it goes to my travel. Into these cults.
Oh, you don't take a donkey anymore. You travel separately.
I have to get places quickly, so I do usually first class, and I'll stay at really nice resorts usually, so no one sees me, and then I will definitely rent a car a driver, and they will pick me up, and they'll drop me off in a location where it looks like I'm walking, and that I've been walking forever to get to that said cult. So it looks like I'm one of them, but then of course I always have my driver pick me up, and then I fly home first class. So, you know, it's not as rough as it is, but it's necessary. It's necessary.
Well, you know, and you don't, I'm just glad you're being safe. I'm just really glad you're being safe.
Some of those cults are dangerous. So, and you know, I have, my father, founding father tells me I have quotas. I do need to save at least 13 to you know, 12 people per cult.
13 to you have to save 13 to 12?
Yes, that I, that okay. I save.
Right. Doesn't leave a lot of margin for error. It seems like you got to really, seems like you really got to nail it on the head.
Now, how do you convince someone they are in a cult? Because I have learned that that is a number one thing, is that when you are in the midst of being brainwashed and some horrible cult has its talons in you, like let's say just off the top of my head, the Democratic Party, when someone is in that liberal party, they don't know that they're being brainwashed and that they're on the wrong side. They actually think they're on the right side. How do you even begin to let people know that they're wrong and you're right?
You scream. You look for markings such as colored hair, tats, what the kids call them nowadays. Anyone marching in the street, you say, well, it looks like you're very active in your cult right now, because they are, you know, doing what everyone else is doing, right? And you look for those, how you tell them, there's signs. Mm. They're educated, you know, there's some signs that they're in a cult that you need to act quickly and swiftly. How do you get them to believe that they're in a cult when they deny it? You have to continue telling them. Once in a while, you got to get hostile with them and you know, just take them, right? You're still being friendly. You have snacks in the car, in the van, you know, and there's no windows, so in the van, so they feel safe, like a dog, you know, in the crate training. So you just quickly grab them. It's like an intervention. We don't ask anymore, since they no longer believe. We're just going to swiftly get our five men, and they will go to said place and they will take them.
Well, I've never felt safe in a hostel.
Carol Peckers was played by Celeste Pekosh. Watch her in the TV show Work in Progress on Showtime. I cannot recommend this lovely story from such beautiful people more highly. Follow her at Celeste in Clogs.
I'm Holly Laurent, playing Hallie Labonte, and Grey Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.